Welcome again to the Parenting is Heart Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky. I love working with families. Families are at the heart of what God wants to do in our world today. But families are under a lot of pressure. So I'm grateful to meet with you in these podcasts on a regular basis. And I love working with Elena. Elena Svetslots from the Netherlands. And we connect on a regular basis just to do these podcasts. Elena, why don't you... Well, first of all, welcome, Elena, and why don't you tell us what we're going to do today?
Yeah, very grateful to be here, Dr. Scott. Just as you mentioned, we really enjoy these sessions, and it's also, I think, powerful to be able to share with others. This season, we're focusing on your book on marriage, Activate Your Marriage, which is available for those interested on biblicalparenting.org. And we're going through each chapter. Just giving an overview of what is there, what you have shared, and just trying to encourage those interested and maybe in need of something different in their marriage to give it a chance and to see if they can apply this in their own marriage. And you mentioned it a few times in previous episodes. There's no need for both partners to be engaged or to be willing to participate. It's enough for one of them to want to make a change, and that's all it needs. So today we're actually going to go through chapter 9. We will focus on connecting emotionally, so it's called, and it's actually about fostering love in marriage, which can be a very interesting topic. And I'm going to quickly go ahead now in the beginning just to share the short description you gave of love and connecting emotionally, because I really like them. Love, you described it as nurturing in my heart, a deep connection through genuine care and a steady commitment to my spouse's well-being. And connecting emotionally, engaging in meaningful interactions that nurture a felt bond and contribute to closeness. It's really packing a punch on both of them. How did you come up with this definition, Dr. Scott? Because they're very rich and full of meaning.
Well, I wanted to define love. See, I went on this pilgrimage when I first met Carrie many years ago. We've married 47 years now, but years ago, probably 50 years ago, I met her. And during that time, I decided I'm not going to tell my wife or tell Carrie that I love her until I can define what love is. And so I went on this pilgrimage of trying to find what love is, studied the Bible, and I talked to friends and counselors, and I learned a lot, but I don't know if I could fully define it. But at some point, I began saying I love you to her, and it just became something I wanted to be tangible. So in this book, I think we often communicate that love is a feeling. In other words, I feel love. Or I feel love to someone, and I think that feeling is good. I think that there's some good feelings that come when we're in love, so to speak. But I think love is more about a commitment. It's about things you do. So when I talked about emotionally connecting, what that does is it gives hands and feet to this idea of love, so that a guy knows what to do or a woman knows what to do. If you're going to emotionally connect with someone, it gives you a hands-on way to demonstrate love. So that's why I chose this idea of emotionally connecting. I just think it's a powerful way to demonstrate love to your spouse or even to your children. It's emotionally connecting is a great way to do it.
Yeah, and it's very true what you said when it comes to thinking what it means before you actually say it. Sometimes we confuse maybe love as a feeling, which it is as well, but also something more deeper, which is a meaningful interaction. And when I actually think about a meaningful interaction, I'm also thinking of an activity. It's an active verb, right? It's something that you do, you choose to do. So it's not necessarily only a feeling that is felt in your heart or in your head, but it's also something you are choosing to do as a result of loving someone. Something you say, something you choose to, in a way, a special way you choose to act. So I think indeed it's very powerful in when you call it a meaningful interaction. I find that very, very powerful. I would like to focus today also in, let's say, the more perhaps the marriages which have passed a certain number of years, and maybe it's not love doesn't feel as it felt in year number one or two, after just exactly after or very close to getting married. How did you notice the word, the meaningful of the word love changed for you in your own relationship, Dr. Scott?
Yeah, I think that, well, I still have feelings that are like the good. So I enjoy those feelings too. But there's a deeper sense of connectedness that Carrie and I experience. And I try to nurture that. I know that one of the ways that I discovered pretty early on in our relationship was that Carrie felt loved when I shared more about my life, details about things that were going on. If I was going to change my schedule, or even I'm driving down the road and I decide to go a different way than what we normally go, then I would tell her what I'm doing. Instead of just doing it and leaving her wondering, this ability to share the details of my thinking often helped her to feel more loved. I call it narrating life. So I would, this idea of narrating life became something that she really appreciates. She gets an inside look into my heart as I'm telling her, here's what I'm doing, here's what happened, here's the decision I'm making, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So that she gets updated on those things. We have children, grandchildren, I have siblings, I have a mom, and Carrie's very involved in all of those relationships as I am. And so we regularly note that if I have a conversation with one of the kids, then I'll report that to her. And she really likes that. And same thing, she has a conversation, she'll report that to me, because it's a way for us to share life. So emotionally connecting has different ways for different people. But in our relationship, that's a significant way that we can emotionally connect together, is by sharing the details of our lives with each other.
Yeah, it reminds me very much of a book called The Languages of Love. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. But it is indeed also something that we start to notice about our partners, a specific way in which they notice that they're, we notice that they prefer to be shown to feel loved, or to feel a strong connection, a better connection. Maybe our, I don't know, some people find words, or maybe some people like time, to spend time together. But it's indeed quite interesting how you have kind of paid attention to that, because I wouldn't expect that necessarily. I would be, for example, let's say I would not value that so much, but it's amazing that it just shows how different we are and how important it is that we all just pay attention at our partner and to see what they enjoy and what they like, instead of just maybe trying to copy or to assume something. So that's very powerful. And you actually, in the book, you're giving a number of ways in which we could increase or pay more attention to our partners. And you call for example, daily check-ins, or to use surprise acts of kindness, physical affection, words. So indeed, there are different ways. So maybe it's also good, valuable to think what we notice in our partner. What do we think is something that they treasure more than other things? So that's very, very powerful and strong. Dr. Scott, do you think it matters a lot that we use this, this language of specific to every individual? Or do you think it's just important that we, let's say, do something that's nice and hope that it's going to work?
I do think we have to look at a person's uniqueness. So I've got a guy at my work who he's told me he really appreciates it when I affirm him. So I look for ways to do that. And he tells me every time I do that, he says, I really appreciate that you said that. So I know that's what he values, and so I'm trying to love him, so to speak, with the in the way that he likes to be loved. It's just part of our working relationship. I think that each person has different ways that they value that. I mean, my wife's a women's fiction author. She writes historical fiction. She's got 22 books to date that she's completed. She's working on two of them, right? Two new books now that she's going to publish. And she's got some great stuff out there. But the fun thing is, she'll want to tell me part of the storyline and where she is at a given moment. So I'll try to keep up to date with her on the latest book that she's writing, or hear the challenges that she's facing, or the problem she's trying to solve. All of that makes her feel like I'm taking an interest in her life, which I am. So, and she does the same thing with me. She's interested in the different activities I'm doing, both at our church and in the National Center for Biblical Parenting. And so there's this sharing of life that takes place that is meaningful and appreciated, I think, on both of our parts.
Yeah, I also heard many couples sharing the fact that making an evening or two evenings, whatever time is possible, available just for them, the two of them, to spend together, it's very powerful. I don't know if it's possible for everybody, or I don't know how long it's possible for everybody, but I did notice that even just lunch together or something small together can really make a big difference. So yeah, time can be such a powerful, spending time together can also be a powerful way to get to know more your partner and what they're like, and just listen more and pay attention more.
I was going to say, it reminds me of a story, what you're saying. There's a man that I value, and he has like six kids. And when he walks in the door of his house coming home from work, you know, he gets bombarded by the kids. They want to talk to him. And he likes that. He likes the hugs. He says, wait just a minute. I'll talk to you in just a minute. I need to go greet your mom. So he makes it a point to prioritize his wife. And I think that's not just good for the wife. I think it's good for the kids. So he goes and says, hi, hon, how you doing? Wow, the kids are after me here. I want to spend some time with them, but I just wanted to say hi to you before I get going here. Maybe give her a hug. That just expresses value. And so I just thought, what a cool idea that he's doing.
That's indeed very interesting. I mean, it's also very culturally interesting, because if you think about other cultures, it can be different. But I think doing that, it's not actually showing less love to the kids, but actually in long term showing the right priority. So I love that, actually. It's very powerful. Nice story. Thank you for sharing. I would like to ask one more question, and maybe it's a bit of a challenging one, because it's to do with, let's say there's a situation in which the reason why some of our listeners are listening, it's because they're going through a hard time. They're having a challenging time. Maybe they're not necessarily in the right, best place together with their partner. And maybe they're thinking about this is maybe far from their minds. What advice would you give those people who are struggling and don't know how to even start with this?
Yes, it's not easy in some relationships, especially those that have high levels of conflict. I would suggest that we do this as we're working. We're loving someone not so much because of them, but we're loving them because of our relationship with the Lord. And again, if we can focus on the fact that we're giving to our spouse because we love the Lord, then we are determining our success based on the partner's response. We're determining our success by the fact that God is pleased with us because we're doing the right thing. So it is hard in some marriage relationships. And I would say hanging in there and loving your spouse, even in challenging times, is a valuable way for you to just demonstrate your growth with the Lord and what he wants to do inside of your own heart.
Yeah, very true. And there are so many examples in the Bible as well. And there, I'm going to actually quickly read the Bible verse which you have for this chapter. It's from 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And that's also our prayer for everybody listening to this podcast. We pray that your relationship will start to, if you're not in the right place, will start to feel better. May God bless you with wisdom to know how to respond to your partner and to know how to show love. And we really are encouraging you to go through the other episodes we have and take some more, take some power from that as well, and some encouragement and some inspiration. And of course, don't forget that the book is available on the biblicalparenting.org website. And Dr. Scott, if you have any encouragement word for the last few seconds, we would love to hear it.
Let me tell you one more story. I'm the teaching pastor at my church. And so between services, we had two services. So in between services, while the worship was going, I entered the women's Sunday school class. I had told them the week before, they were studying the five love languages in their Sunday school class. I told them there's some new recent study about a sixth love language. I'd like to come in and talk to you about that. And then the next week, I came in and I said, there is a sixth love language. It's very important. In fact, it heightens all the other five love languages. I wanted to share it with you, and I pulled out some chocolate and gave it all to him. Chocolate is your sixth love language. It was just a fun time for us to laugh together and for them to be appreciated by me. And so sometimes it's the small things that we do to demonstrate love to each other. And I'd encourage people to think about it, pray about it, and ask the Lord for ways that they can demonstrate love to their spouse.
That's great. That's so, so true. Chocolate is... It's certainly a love language for many, many of us. So, Dr. Scott, thank you again. We really want to thank you for listening. Both of us are so grateful for your contributions. And we wish you a blessed rest of your day. And until next time, God bless you.